Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Is waiting. God so loved the world.
We are glad to have you listening today, but would you like even more quality Bible teaching? If so, please visit our website where you can listen and watch past episodes and learn and interact with others as we focus on God's Word. The place to get started is our website, calvarywv.com. We would also love to have you visit with us in person. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64-I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Well, thank you for joining me for this study of Ephesians. We're now plugging right away. We now are beginning the sixth and final chapter of the book of Ephesians, but we're continuing where we began last week, talking about family relationships. The end of chapter 5 details the relationship between husband and wife to husband. And then we get into the children's relationship to parents and now parents' relationship to children here in the beginning of chapter 6. And we think today about God's will for the family. That's what I want to think about, His will for that. What is His will for the family? And what does He want to say to us? And it all kind of goes back to this overarching theme of Ephesians, where He talks to us about the reality that we have this high and rich calling in Christ. We are who we are by the grace of God, that He's given us these wonderful, precious promises in this life and in the life to come. With that in mind, He says to us, He says this should now affect the reality of our life, how we live as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a parent. And he wants to say much to us through the Scriptures today. So let's just read verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. And if you have a Bible available to you, read along with me, okay? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. What a great truth this is to just to help us along. And we begin with this reality. If we're going to be a home in which God is honored, where we're being what He needs us to be, if we're fitting into His will for us as family life, first of all, we see in verses 1 through 3, the home needs children who honor their parents. Now, He doesn't mention honor until verse 2. He kind of gives the specific application in verse 1, and then He goes to the motivation and the overarching theme of honoring parents. But so we're just going to begin in the order in which it comes in the text of Scripture. Children, obey your parents. So this honoring parents means three major things. It means obedience, and we see that there. Children, obey your parents. By the way, I can't add a lot to that. That means children are to do what their parents say to do. Children are not to do what their parents say not to do. You might say, well, this is going to be a really short message because that's not complicated. Well, it's not complicated of a concept to get up here, but you understand it's a little more difficult to live this out in our lives in reality, both from the parent's standpoint and the child's standpoint. So it just means doing what they say to do. But then he segues into why we do this. And look carefully at verse 6 again, if you will. Children, obey your parents, next prepositional phrase, in the Lord. You see, ultimately, what this honoring parents means, it means obeying not just parents, but ultimately God. And the reality is, if a child at an early age learns to obey the voice of their parents, that reality of obedience now flows over into their relationship with their Heavenly Father, and that we honor His voice. It sets us up for a lifetime of spiritual success. And frankly, it goes all the way back up. If you have your Bible, you can just go right back up to verse 21 of chapter 5, where it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. All of these relationships are collared by this reality that we are to be in submission to God Himself, and we reverence Him, we fear Him, we respect Him, we treat God as God. With that in mind, when it says, honor your or obey your parents in the Lord, that's the ultimate reality. And understand this, parents. And we live in a world where it's always been this way, but it seems more in place today, of extremes. You know, very harsh, controlling parenting, or just let the children learn and grow and live and do whatever they want to do. Well, somewhere there's a middle ground. We'll see this more clearly when we come to verse 4. But reality is, if you treat your children to obey, you are setting them up to honor God, okay? And that is your chief responsibility. That is your highest responsibility, not just to ensure they're going to have success in school. That's important. Not just to ensure that they have a way of making a good living somewhere down the road. That's important. Not just that they're going to be a productive member of society. That's a very good thing. But what is most important is that which lasts the longest, and that is where they stand before God. So we begin this process by teaching them to obey. And let me say for children who are listening, maybe you're a teen, maybe you're an elementary age student listening, you might say, well, you know, my parents, they're kind of old-fashioned. Well, that's always been the case, okay? They have to be a generation above you or they wouldn't be your parents. And they may not get you, they may not get your culture, they may not understand the things you're feeling and understanding. But their God-given role is to help you obey, which is going to set you up for spiritual success. You don't always have to agree with everything, but you should not fight against what they want to do. And just seek to be living in obedience. Not only is it for God, and not is this how we honor God, it's obedience unto God, but also understand that this is how we It works. It is right. Notice it says in the end of verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1, for this is right. Maybe I could just say it this way. It's practical. It's productive. It's going to work better than disobedience. Obedience is always better than disobedience, okay? I don't think I'm going to get that quote posted on Instagram because it's so obvious, okay? But obedience is better than disobedience. It's going to work better in your home. It's going to bring peace. It's going to bring tranquility. It's going to set up a relationship between you and your parents and between parents and children that really can foster growth rather than resentment or resistance. So choose obedience. It's right. It works. It's going to be better in your home. It's going to be better in the long run. And ultimately, it's going to be better spiritually if you learn early just to obey God. And you can start that process in reality, because God says it, by obeying your parents. You have a very practical way to put that into play. Okay? But then we move on. It also means that we honor parents. And by the way, this makes God's top 10 list. Okay? Here in verse 2, he says, honor your father and mother. That is a quote from the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. It is number 5 of God's top 10 list of commandments he wants us to obey, okay? So understand, this is not a sidelight. This is not unimportant. This is critical. This is critical for us walking in maturity. This is critical for us being who we need to be in the Lord. So honor your father and mother. And he says, now, not only do we honor them, but by the way, ultimately, again, it goes above just the quality of your parents, okay? No parent is perfect. I have not been a perfect parent. All of us parents who reached to the point where we were sending our kids out to live their own lives apart from us, we all have some regrets, okay? We all have some. I wish I knew then what I know now. But you know what? Even with their imperfection, even with that in reality, you need to honor them because they were put in that position as a choice by God himself, okay? So we honor them. So he says, which is the first commandment with promise. Now he adds even more pressure to this thing. He adds more impetus to us to do what we need to do, okay? Why? Because it's the first commandment with promise. There's a promise attached to this. And if you read through the Ten Commandments, it's the first one that includes a promise. And he quotes it here in verse 3, that it may be well with you and they may live long on the earth. The living long sounds good, although obviously that's going to vary somewhat from person to person. But he says that it be well with you. Can I just broaden this out in a just kind of a broad statement? If you honor your parents and you start by honoring your parents by obeying them, then you will be a person who God can bless and give a better life to. It just works. It is right. It comes with a promise. It'll be well with you. Your life is going to be blessed. The length of your life and the quality of life in that length will be blessed by God himself. You have every reason to do so. Now, I understand many of us listening today, studying together today, have passed the point where we are actively obeying our parents, okay? We have started our own home, and remember we saw this back in verse 31 of chapter 5, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So eventually, through growth, and particularly with the enactment of a marriage, definitely, there is this creation of a new home. So it's not you have to do what your parents say or be continually controlled by them. But notice verse 2 says you honor them. That is a lifelong commitment, okay? It is a lifelong commitment to give honor to your parents, that we treat them respect. So wherever you're in life, if you're still living in your parents' home, you obey. That's how you honor. If you're now living on your own, you still can seek advice and counsel and interaction with them. Some of us have crossed over in life to where we are now caring for aging parents on some level, and sometimes it's a very direct and very intense level. But that's part of honoring your parents. And I know sometimes that's difficult because you have all the love and responsibility. You just don't have all the leverage that you had when you were raising your own children. So you understand that it is difficult, but you continue. You're doing God's work if you're caring for aging parents. You are doing what God expects of you. It is right, and it is blessed by him, and he will help you and see you through it. So I just say God bless, God's blessings on all of you who are in that stage of life right now. So we honor them. But now you might say, let me just take a moment and say this. Now, for some of us, we no longer have our parents. Well, you can honor them as an act of thanks to God. For some of us, we didn't have a parent in the sense of maybe that father abandoned the home or mom wasn't around, or maybe they were there but they really weren't engaged with you. Maybe you had some neglect or some abuse or some emotional trauma. Some of you have grown up in foster care, and you need to give thanks for those parents who were not really your parents who helped raise you. Let me just say, for those of you that are called to foster children who do not have parents who can raise them currently. Just say you're doing God's work, and we want to support you. We give you our best thoughts and our prayers to be doing God's work. So whatever the status is, and it might be great, it might be the perfect sort of little idealized family, or maybe we had less than idealized of an ideal situation. He says to us, honor those parents. You can learn something, you can honor, and you can love in spite of sometimes what was very poor or even non-existent performance as a parent. So that's what God calls us to do. And the question we just need to be asking all the time is, how can I give honor to my parents? Those that are no longer with us, an act of worship and thanks. Those who are caring for aged parents, you're doing God's work. Those of you that have left your parents' home but they're still active, have a resource there and honor them by including them in your life. If you're still at home under your parents, you obey them. Every one of us has an opportunity to put this into practice on some level. So the question is, how can I do that? Make that a matter of prayer. Lord, how can I honor my parents? How can I honor my father and mother? This is part of your top 10 list, okay? With that in mind, how can I do that? Now, verse 4 now flips it back over to the opposite of that relationship of parents back to children, okay? Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, okay? So the home needs parents who nurture children. Now, the word nurture does not appear in the translation I just read you, but that concept is all over it, as you'll see in just a few moments. So we need to nurture children. We need to be there for them. Well, there's three aspects of this. The first is it means do not push them away from God. That's what he's talking about in the beginning of verse 4. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. You need to take some time to evaluate, what kind of result am I getting from my parenting? Am I creating a child who is angry and resistant and rebellion and rebellious and not satisfied? Now, I understand there's always going to be some of those traits in virtually every child at some point, okay? And children vary from personality to personality. I know Julie allowed us to raise three children, two sons and a daughter, and it's amazing to have the same pool of genes. He can create such three such completely different people, personality and otherwise. With that in mind, your children, some of you have a child that just lives to please, will do anything you say, is yes, ma'am, yes, sir, all the time. And then there's some children with a personality trait that they're going to fight you from the day they're born all the way through. It's going to be difficult. You're going to be strong-willed. And God can use that strong will for his glory. But in all those situations in life, make sure that you don't push them away from God by harshness, by tone, by treating them as a bother or a burden. But imagine now, imagine you're a child. Let's just flip this around in a little imaginary exercise. Imagine you're a child. How would you like to be treated by your parent? Oh, get out of my way. I don't want to listen to your opinion. I don't have time for you. How would that make you feel? Well, if dad doesn't care for me, if mom is not there for me, how can I know God cares for me? You see how that could impact them even spiritually and obviously emotionally and socially and so forth. But imagine that same child with all their hurts and all their worries and all their fears to have a parent just come and swoop them up in their arms and hold them close and say, you know what, you matter to me. You're valuable to me. You're my greatest treasure. I love you. I'm glad you're my daughter, my son. I will love you forever. I loved you even before you were born. Think of that kind of affirming that pulls them into you. It's also that kind of behavior that pulls them into a relationship with God. The opposite, as I tried to just imagine it a moment ago, you don't matter, you don't count, that's provoking. We need to make sure that we as parents, particularly fathers, notice he calls out fathers in verse 4, just as he called out men back in the marriage relationship in chapter 5, the greater responsibility. You're not just to be a protector of your family. You're not just to be a provider for your family. You are to be the priest of the family in the sense of the spiritual leader, setting the spiritual temperature, making sure the word of God is delivered, making sure that you're living it out and so forth. So don't push them away from God. Mark that and take a good look at where we are and how we're performing. And secondly, he says this, and fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. And here's the next one, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The training of the Lord. And basically, this means to direct them. We don't want to push them away, but it means to direct them to this relationship with the Lord. That we direct them, that we do everything we can to bend them and steer them and guide them till they will be in love with Jesus, that they will be obedient to his word, that they will walk in faith rather than by sight, that they will walk in confidence that God's promises are true rather than being consumed by their own fears. Direct them to the Lord. Now, the word direct, and as I'm reading here in this text, it says, bring them up in the training and admonition, Lord. That training is really an agricultural term. And it's used of someone tending a vineyard, and they're out to, you know, clipping off and pruning and taking a vine and bending it a certain way so that, you know, maybe the leaves can face the sunlight, or it can be up off the ground where the fruit, when it forms, will not be down in the dirt where disease and fungus could get it. But it means training, that bending that branch in the right way. The word really could be translated to nurture them. It is your job to direct them to the Lord, to bend that branch in a way that they're going to honor and understand the Lord. Now, there's some very practical ways that we can do that. Let me just share some of those with them to nurture in the Lord. First of all, we do that through an authentic example of intentional influence, okay? We intentionally try to influence them, and we do it by us living the right way. If you're a person of confident faith, some of that confident faith is going to transfer over to the children beyond you. If you're a person that is calm in the midst of adversity, that'll pass over. If you're a person who gives faithfully to the Lord of your time and your treasure and your heart, that child is more likely to that. Have you noticed this in reality? And as you get older, you see this more and more. We become like our parents. Our parents have marked us so much. And in all other venues of life, pastor, teacher, mentor, all those are great things to bend and influence. But by far the greatest influencer in what that child will become is their parent. And ultimately that comes from how we live, okay? Some statistics, let me just read this so I get this correct. And this says something about our intentionally doing this. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, okay, children under 18 years of age, parents who have children under 18 years of age spend 1.4 hours a day actively caring for children. Okay, so 1.4 hours every day caring for children, but their screen time, whether that be with their phone, their tablet, their computer, their television, all right, the screen time averages 4 hours and 36 minutes per day, and let alone what they're getting in school and so forth, all right? So teens, now that's for underage children, that's pre-teenagers, 4 hours and 36 minutes. Teens spend an average of 6 hours and 40 minutes of screen time. I simply say that to say this. It means this. You as a parent need to make sure you carve out time to bend that branch toward the Lord. And we do it by living out a life of godliness before them that we're growing. They see us in the Word. They hear us pray. They hear us talking about the Lord in our normal conversation. And in that reality, we are bending them toward the Lord through our example, and then we actively influence by giving them our time. We also direct them to the Lord by pointing everything back to God. This comes back, there's a great passage in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, where it talks about, we're to talk about the Lord and the covenant and the promises of God when we get up and when we go to bed and when we go in the way, just throughout life, okay? Pointing everything back to God. When he says, train them, or to be training them in the admonition, Lord, we bend it by giving every opportunity to point something back to the Lord. Something bad happens, this is time, children, for us to pray. First thing we need to do is pray. Something good happens, we need to say thank you to Jesus for this goodness. When we sit down at this table to eat this meal, you know, it didn't just happen by our own efforts. God has provided this home, the toys you have, whatever it is. He is blessed us. So point everything back to God. So we need to pray. We need to train them. We need to think and act and react biblically in every venue of life. So we do that by pointing everything back to God. And then another way is through loving correction and counsel. Where he says, obey your parents in the Lord. We need to be those people who are pointing them back to the Lord. And so we direct them to the Lord. Lastly, it means to redirect them to the Lord, okay? When they have stepped out of the path they should be in, we discipline them, bring them back. And that's what it talks about in the end of this verse. In the training and the admonition of the Lord, the corrective influence in life through correction and counsel. This refers to verbal correction. It means to correct or warn strongly or to encourage someone to change from behavior attitudes that are sinful and destructive into attitudes that are righteous and productive. And sometimes it's not just stop doing that or I'm going to punish you. We need to stop doing that. But let me tell you why. That attitude you have is not pleasing to God. And maybe it's time for some self-confession too. You know, Dad, sometimes he loses his temper. Sometimes I have to struggle. You know what I have to do? I have to come back and say, I'm sorry to God and apologize to people I've hurt. And then I need to, before the Lord, say, I'm going to do better next time. And that's what God wants you to do in this situation, is just redirect them back to the Lord. Just like we are all sheep who are prone to wander. Your children are like sheep who are prone to wander, and they need a shepherd in the home to redirect them back to God. So the admonition, notice the last prepositional phrase, here it is again, of the Lord, okay? So this training, this admonition is what we get from Him, what we do for Him, and within the confines of what He has commanded us to do today. We have a big job, Mom, Dad, and if you're past the age of actively parenting or you're not a parent, you need to be supportive of the parents that are. You know, we need to serve the children. We need to be there. We need to encourage them. Maybe it's just give those parents a break every once in a while. Hey, could I watch your children for an afternoon? You can get out and do some shopping or something. I'd love to just sit down and play with them. Or bring over and tell them about my childhood, as ancient as I may be to them, to come along and be in their life. Just an adult paying attention to a child in a nurturing training relationship is a valuable, welcome, joyous thing to a child. May God help us all to do that. Now, a question, okay? Part of this training and admonition of the Lord, bending that branch the right way, we could actually put the word discipleship in here. We usually talk about we as churches are disciple and shepherds are the disciple, and we as Christian leaders are disciple to bring others into conformity to God's plan and to be a follower of Jesus, a lover of Jesus. Well, that's what we need to do in our own homes. Dad, Mom, you're to disciple those children to be followers of Christ by your example, by pointing everything back to God, and then redirecting them back to God when they need that kind of correction. So here's the question. How can I be actively involved in discipling the next generation? If you're Mom and Dad, you're right there in the trenches. You're right on the front lines. If you're a grandparent, you can assist and you can help. If you're just on the outside, a member of the church or an extended family member, you can come alongside and help. And we need to teach the next generation to be followers of Jesus. And that begins with having a relationship with Him. Let me just take a moment. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we want to give you an invitation to explore that and hopefully come across that line of faith and believe in Him. I simply want to encourage you to do this. Go to our website, calvarywv.com. At the bottom of the page, you're going to see beginning a relationship with Jesus. It's a 4-minute video. You just watch that because we want to share with you how you can be a follower of Christ as well. And that's where you begin. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a child in the home, you honor those parents. You honor them even beyond your childhood days, and you honor them even into the end of their days. If you're a parent, a father particularly, you need to make sure that you are training that child in the admonition of the Lord, to bring them up in the Lord, that we don't push them away from God, that we redirect them to the Lord, and when they're out of line, we redirect them back to God. A big task, but that is God's will. That's God's plan for the home. And if we follow His plan, and if we do what we need to do, that's our doing, at the same time, depending on His presence and His Spirit within us, it's that same thing we've talked about many times in study. We do and we depend. We depend and we do. If we do that in combination with the reality of the Spirit within us, we will be the kind of children, we'll be the kind of parents, we'll be the kind of people, we'll be the kind of church that God wants us to be. Thank you for joining me in this study. I hope it continues to be a blessing to you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.